Welcome to The Mindfulness Habit with Kirsty O'Brien. I'm a business coach bringing mindfulness into the workplace, giving you simple, practical, and woo-free strategies to help you manage and prevent your stress so that you can stop burning yourself out and create a life by design. Each week, you'll also listen to real-life stories of thought leaders and entrepreneurs on how they're cultivating a mindful state of mind in business and life. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Mindfulness Habit. Today, I have with me Dr. Renee Wellenstein. Hey, Renee.
Hello.
So, Renee, I'll give you a little bit of a bio, but she'll also tell you so much more about herself. But Renee is an OBGYN turned functional medicine doctor. And I really love her. When I was looking at her website, your website says that you help busy professional women take their health, fitness, and lives to the next level. Sounds exactly like what most of us need.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so, and I weave libido in there too. So
I was just going to say that. So what really sparked my interest when I was looking at, you know, all about your story, which is incredible in itself, but what you specialize in is the fact that you really do specialize in low libido for women. And then the follow on from that is stress and burnout and how that's affecting our libido. And I feel like that's such a hot topic at the moment because of what this, you know, global pandemic has sort of, I think, really skyrocketed burnout, but also brought more awareness to the fact of what even burnout is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to our conversation. And yeah, you know, I do think even my own personal story of burnout, and I will kind of touch on that just a little bit because a lot of your listeners are probably thinking, what does an OBGYN, how does she go into functional medicine? And, you know, it's really just an accident really because of my own personal health. And you know, I had twins and I moved to the country from a suburb of New York City in the States. And, you know, I thought this was 9 years ago, I was living the perfect life as an OBGYN. And I bought a dream horse because that's what you do when you move to the country. And I fell off that horse and broke my back shortly after getting him. And I always say that's where my story begins because that is where my life never looked the same and where it took a series of turns. The first was the fact that I broke my back and it completely transformed my professional career. I could no longer deliver babies or operate. So, you know, I gave up half my life for medicine to change women's lives. And at this point, I didn't feel like I was doing that anymore, going to the clinic, doing pap smears all day. Now I got to still work with my women, but I just wasn't delivering the baby or operating. And then the next obstacle came when, in addition to my back discomfort, I started having all these other weird symptoms. And this went on for a solid year and a half, whereby I just couldn't get out of bed in the morning. I really just wanted to lay around all day. I was making very poor food choices because of the extreme fatigue that I was experiencing. I would go to the fridge, open the refrigerator doors, and I'd see a salad in there, but I was so exhausted. I would just slam the doors shut, go to the cabinet and grab some chips. And, you know, of course, I was gaining weight because of my poor choices. My mood wasn't very good. And you know, this was every day in and day out. So of course I lay on the couch thinking, gosh, what a deadbeat mom, right? Like I can't even play with my twins were 6, 7 years of age. And all I wanted to do is go work a couple of days at the clinic and come home and lay down for the rest of the time. I didn't feel like a very good wife to my husband. Speak of libido, that was gone because I had absolutely no confidence, self-esteem. Like I felt like everything just was washed down the toilet. And so I got to a point one evening in bed with my husband and I said, I just can't go on living like this. Like, this is just, I have no purpose. I feel like an awful mom and wife. Like I feel physically awful. I need to do something. So of course I went to my doctor and at this time I'm still in conventional medicine and I knew what she was going to say because I diagnosed myself and she said, I think you have depression. And I remember sitting there going, I knew that was the box I was going to be put into. However, I just didn't feel like this is what depression should feel like. You know, I said, yeah, I understand I had a major life-changing accident. I understand my career doesn't look the same. However, I just don't feel like I want to cry all the time. But at this point, I had never been diagnosed with depression. So maybe this is what it feels like. All I knew at that point is just give me the pill to make me feel better. And she did. And I walked away with that pill, took the pill, and that pill made me feel even worse. I had all of the side effects and it did not do anything for my other symptoms of the fatigue. It just made me feel awful. But I just continued to take it for 3 months, went back at 3 months, and of course told her all of my side effects. And she's like, we must not have the right pill. Because, you know, conventional docs, we don't think. And I was in that same training, like, you know, we don't know what else it could be. And this isn't working. So it must be the medication that's the problem, not the diagnosis. So she gave me a second different pill. And again, at this point, I'm really questioning, like, gosh, this just does not feel right. But what else could it be? Took the pill, went away. Same exact thing happened. And at this point I said, this is it. This is not doing anything for me. It's actually making me feel worse. There's got to be something else. Right around this time that I'm having this revelation that it's got to be something, or I'm going to go off this pill and I'm going to feel all my symptoms and I'm just going to have to live feeling like this, which is basically what I was told. You know, it's normal. You're just going to have to feel like this for the rest of your life. I felt awful. I felt hopeless, helpless. Like, here I am, a doctor surrounded by my medical colleagues, and nobody can help me. So I, at this point, was put in touch with a functional medicine doctor, and it was for a completely different reason. It was not for my own health. But she got on the phone with me one evening while I was sitting in bed and, you know, said, we discussed the real reason we got on the phone, which I was selling skincare because I was so without purpose in my life that I was like, let me do something fun. Let me do this direct sales of anti-aging skincare. And she was like, oh, I have my own skincare line, but let's talk about you and your health. And so it was just really very, it was great that I was actually doing that at that time of my life because it connected me with her at a time when I really needed her. And I don't think I otherwise would have found her. So, you know, in discussing my personal symptoms, she's like, you know, I do think you have an issue with your adrenal glands. We call it, back then we called it adrenal fatigue. And here I am. So I'm sitting in bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night with my computer on my lap. This is where I usually was. And I'm Googling it as she's telling me. And like this light bulb went off. I'm like, oh, I'm reading the description. I wanted to cry because I'm like, this is me. How come I did not know about this? And she's like, yep. You know, good news is you don't need a prescription pill, you know, some lifestyle changes, which are not going to be easy. They're simple and straightforward, but they're not easy. Some supplements that I think you're going to need. We're going to make sure it is what it is. We're going to do some testing. But she's like, you know, you're going to be fine. You're going to feel better. And, you know, that's not going to be overnight, probably a year, year and a half, but small little steps forward, you're going to feel better. And I tell you right then, like the fact that she validated my symptoms, like, because at this point I really thought, number one, I was going to have to live with this the way I was feeling. Number two, it's all in my head. Maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe I'm just lazy. Right. And so that one phone call, she gave me my life back by just simply validating that it's not in my head. It could be something else, and that I could actually take action and help myself feel better over a period of time. That was quickly followed by her offering me a job. And this woman had never met me, but she knew, you know, my situation. And, you know, and I was like, what do you do? She said functional medicine. So here I go Googling again. I Google. And I just lit up because I was like, oh, the premise of functional medicine, getting to the root cause of a person's symptoms, like truly not putting a Band-Aid on it with a medication, not shoving you in a box of a diagnosis, like looking at the big picture and getting to the root cause and then solving the problem from there. Oh my gosh, I found my purpose again. So of course, you know, immediately looked into training, fellowship training. And the funny part about all of this is that when I got on the phone with her, my husband had gone into the shower, and as he's coming out of the shower, about 20 minutes, half hour later, I'm just getting off the phone with her. And I said, great news. I said, I have adrenal fatigue. I don't have depression. Oh, and by the way, I'm leaving the hospital and I'm going back and doing a fellowship in functional medicine. And I'm joining this woman in practice. I'm setting up her satellite office, which was about an hour from my house. And he stood there and he goes, how long was I in the shower for? Like, you know, because major life changes occurred. And it was really interesting because that was the point in my life that I actually realized I needed to listen to my intuition. As a doctor, I was so educated to like, just follow the algorithm, follow the protocol. Don't listen to that gut feeling, follow the head. And so I always did until that night. So that night was momentous on so many levels. You know, I got the diagnosis my working diagnosis, which is essentially, you know, burnout, extreme burnout. And that had been festering for years. It was just the fall off the horse that really put me over the edge. I got validation of my symptoms, which I think a lot of people do, a lot of women in particular don't get. Like we walk around thinking that our symptoms are in our head, or, you know, if we don't fit in the box or the pill doesn't fix us, quote unquote, fix us, that we're broken and, you know, it's not real. And that's not true. You know, a lot of our symptoms are real and, you know, can be cured. You just have to figure out what they're coming from, even if they don't fit into a diagnosis box. And, you know, she just changed my life with my career. She gave me my purpose back, because even going into the call with her selling that skincare, it still didn't give me the purpose. You know, I still wasn't making the impact on women's lives that I was used to making. And the reason I got up in the morning, went to bed at night, like I got up to change lives and I was no longer doing that. So yeah, fast forward to today, you know, I recovered from my burnout, not to say with my type 8 personality that I don't go slipping down that slippery slope once in a while, but I am much better at identifying it now and having the tools in my toolbox to get myself out a lot quicker. I went into functional medicine. I'm no longer in a brick and mortar. We closed that practice about 3 years ago. So I was in it over 4 years. And now I'm completely online. And as of last year, I transitioned to speak mostly about libido. However, for women, I always say it's just another symptom for women. And generally, things like burnout are potentially one of the underlying causes of a woman's low libido.
I knew your story, but I didn't know it had all that amazing, beautiful synchronicities happening with it. Like you were just meant to be on that call, and it's sensational that you found your purpose, but you also got to the bottom of what was going on and regained your life back, I would imagine.
Oh yeah. And I've changed my family's life. You know, I have to think, you know, I never wanted to fall off that horse and still have back issues to this day. However, my life would look so much different had I not, I don't think my family would have been as healthy as they, you know, if I was not doing this, they wouldn't have a mom around. I certainly wouldn't be as, you know, as present as I am now, because as an OBGYN looking back, I was crazy. Like I was living in the future, the past, everywhere but the present. So, and you know, so at least I'm that one present, constant parent around, and try to be a role model to my husband, even to just be more present, because it's just really easy for us, you know, in this world that we're in right now to just be, again, living in the past, living in the future. And I think that was one of the biggest things that started my healing back even then, is doing some work on myself and personal development and just turning inward and really like just thinking about all of those, even those thoughts for those 3 years of playing victim. Like I truly, truly went into the grieving mode, you know, all the stages of grieving, like when you lose a loved one. I lost the function of my back. I lost my career that I thought I was going to have for the rest of my life. There were so many things in my mind back then that I lost. And I went through all of the processes of grieving and anger and blaming and, you know, all of it. And only until I came out the other side did I realize I went through all those stages and didn't even know it. And I had but I do believe that was part of my process. And then I just had to get myself out of the poor me victim mode that I was in for a long time. And what helped me do that actually was getting that validation that, gosh, this isn't in my head. Someone's going to help me. There's something I can do within my own power to feel better. It was just completely life-changing. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing today and like speaking with you and shouting it from the rooftops, because there are so many women out there dealing with things that they think they're alone. They think that, you know, no one else is going through it. And I'm here to say, yes, we are. And there's help, you know, we're here to help. And you're not crazy. It's not in your head.
I really like how you brought that up just then about the validation, because I think when women in particular are going through certain things, and we'll touch on this even deeper in a minute about libido, we don't validate ourselves, and we particularly sometimes don't get that validation from the people around us, because as you said, it's in your head, because a lot of the things people can't actually see, or will make a judgment of, well, what's wrong with you? You've got healthy kids, and you've got a great husband, and you live in a great house or whatever else, and you should be fine. And I think just when we validate ourselves, and as you said, get out of our heads and into our hearts, that just allows you to really just honor where you're at. And then from there, you can heal. You can start to regain, you know, things back just by acknowledging yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people aren't seeing behind the scenes. And, you know, I often talk about this, that as women, we've taken on, you know, we had our quote unquote usual roles in the house, correct? You know, like the laundry and the groceries and all of the things. And I'm not being stereotypical, but a lot of times it does fall on us. And then we've taken on new roles of having our own businesses, or perhaps working outside the house. And we're still doing all those other roles, and we're trying to keep it all together, and we're not asking for help. And so, nor are we saying how we feel, because this was me. I wanted to be that superwoman that could do it all. And when you look like you have it all together on the outside, no one's going to step in and help, because like you've got it covered. You're good. You know, and a lot of women, I see them very angry and frustrated and resentful towards their partners because their partners aren't helping. The thing is, we're looking like we have it together way too well.
Yeah.
And they're looking, they're like, yeah, you got it. I'm going to go sit over here and get on my phone after work. And, you know, we just have to, again, like I always say, like, just communicate what you need, because you look like you have it all under control. We're really good at doing that. Whereas inside, we're falling apart. We're tired. We're frustrated, resentful. We're angry. All those not so great energetic emotions, like they're very low energy kind of feelings that are actually contributing to burnout, by the way. They are very, they're triggers for burnout. And, you know, we literally fall into bed at night and thinking like all of the things that we didn't get done, because we had so much on our list, right? And we're just completely exhausted. And, you know, you didn't get your trophy for being the superwoman. Maybe in your head you did, but everyone else survived the day. You look like you had it all under control, but you're exhausted. And so I think part of the, you know, issue is that we're not saying how we really feel and where we need help. And it's not a failure to ask for help. It's actually, you know, it's going to save your sanity, your mental health, your physical health, just to say what your spouse, your significant other can help you with. You have older kids. I know I do. They have chores in the house. They have dishes to do. They have laundry to fold. They have a dog to take out once in a while. You know, friends helping pick up kids if they're to school, you know, like just ask for help, you know.
Yes.
People are there to help you, and it does not mean that you're a failure, because you can't do it all. We can't do it all.
No. And it's that adjustment period when you do start to ask for help, the family has to adjust as well, because they're used to, you know, you doing it all. And I think sometimes we can give in too quickly in that adjustment period, because everybody else is getting used to, oh, mum never usually says this, or my wife never usually asks me to do this. And everybody's got to adjust as you start to get out of victim mode and, you know, as you said, ask for help, get that support, know that it's not weakness to ask for support. And it's a lot of it is breaking the molds that we've seen for generations as well, you know. Want to be like our grandmothers and our mothers.
Yeah. And chances are they weren't working out of the house, or, you know, even 100%. If we're now, a lot of us are home, but we're still working. And so we're finding, especially if your kids are still at home or, you know, not back to school, you're still doing all those things throughout the day that you normally would be working on your business. In your business, you're with the kids helping with homework or what have you, or making sure they're in class if they're virtual. And, you know, that's taking out a lot of even the self-care time for ourselves, because, you know, here we are doing everything for everyone else, especially over the past 18 plus months, at the expense of not filling our own cups. Not, I mean, a lot of women I talk to now, they don't even know what they like to do anymore because they've lost themselves so much in the past 18 plus months. So, you know, and I get it, because a lot of times when you start asking for help, you get resistance from those teenagers that are so used to mom doing it really well, or the spouse who comes home and he's tired too. But I have to say, just number one, getting over that guilt or shame that you're asking for help, especially if they push back a little bit, takes a lot, especially if you're tired and burned out. It takes a lot to say, oh, you know, no, don't have to break down and cry. You don't have to yell, just be persistent and say, please help. And I think at the end of the day, when you get the, even like that little help from the kids and the little help from the husband, it's going to make a huge difference in your outlook on life, your outlook on the day, getting through the day, your stress level, all of the things. And it's going to hopefully give you a little back, bit of time back to you for that self-care. And when I talk self-care, I'm not talking manicures, pedicures. I'm talking about going out for a walk, reading a book, doing something other than taking care of everybody else.
Yes. I love how you just worded that too, because that's the other thing, isn't it? We just equate self-care with these quite superficial things, and it's just simple and fundamental, just of what tops your energy back up, you know, and just having some time for yourself. So I'd love to know what made you sort of focus on women's libido.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it wasn't a very conscious decision either. Nothing in my life I feel is conscious. It's the universe coming down and saying, this is your next, this is what you're doing next. This is your next purpose. And what happened is fall of 2020, the online health world got really noisy because of the pandemic. Everyone's talking about, and I of course do functional medicine, so it's root cause medicine, getting to the root cause of why you're feeling the way you're feeling. The online world was talking about gut health, talking about immune system. We didn't know how else to stay healthy. And I found like, gosh, I'm just another voice out there in the world. What is something that I truly, again, adding, having purpose, getting out of bed in the morning, if I feel like my message is falling on deaf ears because they're hearing it everywhere, I'm going to not want to get out of bed in the morning. So I had to pull back and say, in my 20 plus years of working with women, what is something that we're just not talking about, and that I see there's a huge problem and huge need for me to talk about and take out the myth that it's normal? Because there's so many things with women that we don't talk about in women's health, and we kind of normalize, and, or we just don't talk about it because we think we're the only ones going through it. And one of those topics was libido. And what the other beautiful thing was, is, you know, anytime you start talking about a particular topic, you know, in women's health or whatever area of healthcare you are in, you feel like you're going to leave all of those other women behind. Like, you know, that was my biggest resistance, because I'm here to help everybody. However, what I found for women is libido, number one, raising awareness about the fact that it's not normal in so many scenarios. You know, after you have kids or in perimenopause, it's normal to have a low libido, and in menopause and with stress and that, like all these women are succumbing to the fact that if they have one of these major transitions in life that can last upwards of 20 years plus, you know, menopause and perimenopause, that they're just conditioned to think that their sexual desire is actually going to take a nosedive and never come back. And they're told that by society, they're told that by their doctors, and there's not a ton of studies on it. So I really wanted to be that, get on my platform and basically tell women, if you want it to be better, you can. We just have to figure out what in your life changed. And it's usually, again, for women, much more than one thing. Usually it's we're complex, so we're not so easily quote unquote fixed like men. I worked with men for 4 years, so I can say that, because I saw a distinct difference between men and their libido and women and their libido. And it's really interesting, because in, again, 20 years of trying different things to help women with their libido, I have found more times than not what doesn't work. And so that really got me asking even a year ago, when I was like, this is a topic nobody's talking about. Why? Because it's hard. It's hard because there's not a study out there saying do this for a woman's low libido. There's not a magic pill out there for the doctors to give you if your libido is low. That's going to fix 100% of women. You know, so I find even as an OB, it was a topic I would avoid because I didn't have that magic pill supported by that magic scientific study. Women are hard to study. We cycle. Mm. We are not the same every day. And so I would find as even an OBGYN, I would just shy away. I wouldn't even ask a woman. I would just like crouch down in my seat when she asked me, cause I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know what to do. And then when I went into functional medicine, I tried a lot of different things because we're all always conditioned to think it's one hormone, testosterone, which is because it, you know, we think libido, men, testosterone. Well, we're not that easy. I'm sorry to say. And I tried it. I really did for many years. I thought the same thing. And when I found that that didn't work, it really had me pull back and think, gosh, what else could it be? And I found all of the other things that I work on with women actually can contribute to a low libido in a woman. So the low libido I talk about generally is on a woman's symptom list. It's just not number one on her list. Like the men, it's number one on their list. But for us, we put it all the way down below all those other things, such as the low energy from burnout and, you know, the weight gain, which is what I hear a lot of women, and the low self-confidence and self-esteem and all the other things. And I realized this when I started pulling it out of women at my functional medicine practice. I said, how's your libido? And she would just look at me like, wow, a doctor has never asked me that before. And it was just another, not really a vital sign, but another thing that I would actually use in my practice to see how a woman, her full scope of life, you know, at home, in her relationship, in the bedroom, everywhere, in her work. And it was just really trial and error of what did work and what didn't work. And essentially what was working was when I would actually work on a lot of the other things, nutrition and gut health and stress level and hormone imbalance that a lot of times can come from the three things I just talked about, the stress, the gut health. It wasn't that they were deficient in a hormone. They may have been imbalanced, but it generally was from something else. So, you know, the beauty of now transitioning and discussing a lot about libido is I can bring awareness to a lot of women that think they're going to have to live with a desire that's less than optimal for them. And we can actually get them not only improving their libido, but losing the weight and having better energy and feeling better in their skin and more confident and better self-esteem. And, you know, it's just the trickle-down effect from just focusing on that one topic and validating it, number one, for women is huge. And it's been huge. And I've seen a huge women coming out of the woodwork that thought it was normal, thought they were alone, thought that they were going to have to deal with this for the rest of their life, just get life, you know, back into them, knowing that there is something within their control that they can do.
Mm. And do you find that having a healthy libido is almost sort of overlooked as part of being, you know, your well-being?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There are so many benefits, and I'm, you know, libido and desire and intimacy, they're all, you know, everyone has a different definition of them, but for women, her intimacy can look different. It could look like the actual intercourse, you know, an act, or it could just be getting close to your partner and snuggling. And, you know, a lot of the same chemicals are released in our body from whatever she deems is intimacy for her. But a lot of women I'm talking to are not even getting to that level. They're not even wanting to be close to their partner. And that's where I'm trying to come in, because I'm seeing a lot of women crying out that they're relationships are on the verge of ending because, and these are marriages, because of the fact that their husbands think there's something wrong with them or they don't love them anymore. And they're coming to me crying saying, it's not, I don't know what's wrong. Essentially, you know, they've gone to their doctors. They don't know what else to do. And so, yes, it's just another, from my perspective, it's another gauge of optimal health. And, you know, it goes way beyond our years of procreating, because a lot of women think, oh, I don't need it anymore. I'm not having kids. And, you know, it goes to stress. Talk about the number one stress reliever, you know, productivity and confidence and, you know, cognition and mental function and hormone levels, like optimizing, you know, making you happier. And so it all comes from intimacy and that connection that you get. And so I think it's really an optimal part of women's health. And, you know, I come at it from, let's figure out why you don't even want to be intimate. And then once we do, you're going to reap all those other benefits of the intimacy, whatever that intimacy looks like for you.
And do you find a lot of it's once you start talking about it and it's getting rid of, because it is a bit of a taboo subject, isn't it?
And very much.
There is, I find even in talking to girlfriends, A, it's not really discussed, or there is an expectation of what you just sort of covered that, oh, well, I'm not having kids anymore. And it's just sort of, I don't know, almost just expected that it just dies off and that it's not something that you can look at, and also that maybe that you should be investing time in getting it back to how, so that you feel vibrant.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and that's the thing, it's not discussed. And I think if I can start even a discussion amongst the girlfriends when they go, you know, have a glass of wine on a Friday or a cup of coffee on a Saturday, and, you know, take that taboo out of it and just start, because it looks different for every woman. You know, I often get asked, like, what's a low libido? If it's not, if your desire is not where you want it to be, it's low for you. I have women coming to me saying, I don't have it and I don't want it. That's fine. I mean, again, there are so many health benefits to intimacy and the actual intercourse. And, but if it's not a problem for you, it's not a problem. However, what I'm finding, and what I'm here for, the women that are bothered by the fact that it's not where they want it to be. And that's where we get to work to figure out, like, why? Why is it not? And it's not you being broken, or it's not that one magic pill that's going to fix it. And the reason you weren't fixed by that magic pill is, again, it's probably not addressing the real issue. So, you know, I come at it more than just arousal in the bedroom. I'm coming at it, okay, you don't even want to go into the bedroom. So let's start there and let's get that back and let's figure out why that's the case. And there's a lot of, I call them roadblocks to why that happens. And it's very interesting because a lot of times it's not like you wake up one morning and it's gone. It's been a very gradual decline. The thing is, women, we have different biochemistry, meaning hormone levels and such, than men. We have different brain sizes, different parts of our brain are different than men's. Like how we, because of that hormone testosterone, like we don't think of sex 500 times a day. No, it's not that much, but men think of it much more than women. We're just biochemically programmed differently. And so what happens for women is we have a lot of other responsibilities. We've got the kids, and on our mind is the grocery shopping, and we got to fit this meeting in between going to the grocery store and picking up the kids. And, you know, so I find that what's happened is it's just literally falling off because of how busy our schedules have gotten. The fact that a lot of us were not going out with our partners to, like, our date nights, you know, the dinner, yeah, the movies, we're always home. There's a lot of relationship strain from being home 24/7 and not having that outside engagement with our girlfriends, or just getting away from the people in our house. Cause it's great to be together, but it's great to also have your alone time. And a lot of women aren't having that alone time. They're always on, they're never off. And, you know, I find that because of all of these series of events, it's just gradually fallen off. I've had a lot of women reach out to me and say, it's interesting, for about the past year and a half, I haven't had a desire. What happened about a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
You know, and then kind of going back, like, you know, from there. And some women are saying, like, never. And it's so interesting. I have so many women saying, I've never had it. I've never had a libido. And like, now that I'm talking about it, they're like, why, what's going on here? Or, you know, my husband's so attractive, I don't know why I don't want to be intimate. And all these, you know, I'm getting a lot of different responses. And so, you know, at least we're opening up the lines of communication to talk about it, to try to start asking questions, to allow you to look to your left, look to your right, and realize that probably one of those women also has a libido that's not optimal for her, and that you're both in the same boat, maybe with different causes, but you're one in the same. You both want it to be different, and you're willing to look within and see what it is exactly that changed. And again, a lot of times it's more than one thing, but we just start with one thing, one thing at a time.
And as you were saying, it can be a byproduct of burnout and stress. And my experience, especially with burnout and stress, is that we're in our heads a lot and we get into that really negative thinking of just saying terrible things about ourselves. And I guess what comes along with that too is, well, I'm not sexy, I'm not good enough, I'm not, and that's going to sort of affect our libido as well without us even realizing it, because we're not even half the time conscious about the thoughts that are going on in our head, really. And we're our own.
Yeah, I think it's 50,000 thoughts or something a day, and 80% of them are negative self-talk. So it's really high. So it's really interesting that we aren't pulling back and thinking, and a lot of those thoughts are the same thoughts over and over again. Like you were saying, I'm not sexy. And that translates to us wearing the baggy clothes and not wanting to get undressed at night, especially in front of our husbands or significant other. And that trickles down to eventual loss of interest, because then it's a two-way street. Then he starts thinking you don't love me, you don't want to be with me. And because men are very visual, they want to see your body. They want to see you in not necessarily tight clothes, but not the baggy sweatpants and the baggy sweatshirts that we've all been living in the last 18 months, because it's the comfort wear. But a lot of us have been wearing them because we don't feel comfortable in our bodies and our skins. And a lot of times it's subconscious too. We don't even know what we're doing. We've just evolved into this way of living and this way of feeling about ourselves. And, with that burnout stress, we can get into this self-sabotage kind of mentality where maybe you gained a couple pounds over the past year and you don't feel comfortable and you're what the heck, I can't lose this. The stress level keeps going up. You start making, poor food choices, because two things. Number one, chocolate, cookies, wine, they all help you feel more relaxed and feel rewarded, which is, in the last year and a half, we've all wanted just to feel calmer and happier, or quote unquote happier. They give you this feeling of happiness for about 5 minutes, but this actual chemical reward in our body that we just want some comfort in this year and a half of uncertainty that a lot of us men and women included have gone to the food and the alcohol and all of the things that have just perpetuated the burnout, the weight gain, the lack of, you feel confident for 5 minutes when you're drinking the wine, maybe, but then it goes down the drain right after that. So, it's this, and then we get in our heads of oh, I'm never going to be able to lose the weight. Look at me. I'm so overweight. I can't lose the 10 pounds of gain. What's wrong with me? I'm such a failure. Might as well have more cookies. Might as well have another bottle of wine. Might as well have the chocolate candy bar every single night or the ice cream. So, it's this vicious cycle that we've gotten ourselves into, because a lot of it stemming from, the burnout and kind of then going into the mindset and that worsening self-talk and all of it. I think it's gotten a lot worse with how we're talking to ourselves over the past year and a half.
I know. A lot worse. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. And a lot of unhealthy coping mechanisms coming along with that we're reasoning away as being okay, but they're really sort of helping to keep us stuck and to keep us in that, stressed and overwhelmed state.
Yeah. And, it's really hard to feel the feelings when you're stressed and burned out, because a lot of us are using these other means of coping because we don't want to feel the feelings of being lonely, of being scared, of being stressed, all these emotions, and I would always love to say, instead of reaching for the cookies or the glass of wine, go for a walk, go outside, get some air, go in your backyard. If you can't go take a walk, because of curfews or what have you, or go read a book or do something else that's a little more on the healing side and healing. And again, it's not easy to feel those feelings, but I find that sitting in those feelings, I journal a lot now. It's something new that I've pretty much always thought, who has time to journal? Who has time not to journal those feelings, right? Especially if you're feeling them, instead of getting the glass of wine or the cookie, get your pen in your hand and write and listen to some music or meditate. That's another big thing that I've adopted religiously actually is some guided meditation, especially if I'm feeling, I don't want to say weak, but I'm feeling that emotion that's really hard that I just want to dull with something else. It's like, okay, it's going to get easier. It's like a muscle, working that muscle and feeling that feeling, that eventually you develop healthier coping mechanisms when that, I'm not saying that feeling's ever going to go away completely. I hope it does. But what we start doing is we start not having that knee-jerk reaction to go grab the candy bar, the cookies, the glass of wine, the cigarette, whatever the case may be, that is your usual go-to for that that feeling that you usually have that you want to dull. It's really like, okay, here it comes. Here it comes. And honestly, I think it's like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes that you get that urge of like doing that normal habit. And if you can get over that hump, so much better. And it's actually going to allow your body to heal from burnout a lot easier than continuing to go down that rabbit hole of just dulling those feelings and those emotions that you're having. And again, in the moment, it feels so much better, but in the long term, it's truly impairing your healing.
You're speaking my language there. I just think, meditation creates that space to be so much grounded, but also get you out of your head into here. And with that, it does come that getting into touch with what you need in that moment, beyond all the stuff, beyond all the expectations and the thinking, and just really leaning into what you need and to acknowledge how you're feeling. And I feel like once you do that, you can, like you said, you know, move through things so much easier and quicker, because you're almost, you know, you're giving yourself that validation. Yep, I'm feeling like this and I'm here. What do I need from here? So
I'm present in your body.
Oh, present. Yeah. And I do feel that that has a big thing on your libido, presence. Just allowing yourself to be present with yourself, present with your needs, present with your partner without thinking about like the laundry list of to-do things. It's, you know what, it's always going to be there. I always start my meetings, nothing to do, nowhere to be. It's okay. So just enjoy being, as you said, intimate, or just being with yourself, and, you know, let yourself, give yourself that permission.
Start to reconnect, right? Reconnect with, you know, take the earphones off and your nose out of your phone, and just truly reconnect with your loved ones, including your spouse, significant other, and see where that goes. You know, truly communicate, talk. You know, don't think about the next thing you have to do or what happened yesterday. Like, truly, like, just make this a practice of being present in the moment. Now, you don't have to be all day. You can go back later, but like, I think the more you practice being present, the easier it becomes.
Absolutely. Oh, I really enjoy talking to you today.
I enjoyed the conversation too.
Yeah, I really did. I just love that it's brought this awareness around this. It's just, you don't want things to be a taboo just because they're not spoken about. So thank you so much for your time. And if people, I'm going to put all your links in the episode notes anyway, but please share where people can find you and get to know more about you and maybe even work with you.
Yeah. My website, drreneewallenstein.com. I am all over social media by the same name, Dr. Renee Wallenstein. You know, I use social media as just my platform to raise awareness and allow women not to feel alone, and just to know that there's help out there for them, that they don't have to do this and feel as helpless and hopeless as I once did. That's biggest mission in life.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you love this episode, I would be so grateful if you shared this with other people in your world. For some free mindfulness resources, to know more about my workplace programs, or to work with me privately, head on over to my website, teamko.com.au. And don't forget to connect with me over on social media at Meditate with Kirstie.